I'm so excited to get the opportunity to share the Word of God with you today. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name. I say it every week, and I will continue to say it. There's literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all, and I'm excited for some heaven practice today. Okay, we're going to get to hear from Jesus and His words all the time, and we're going to worship Him, so we're practicing that today. Amen? Y'all ready to keep practicing heaven? All right, because we're called to experience heaven on earth, and that's what I want us to experience. That's what I want our community to experience, and today I get the privilege and the honor of continuing our series on discipleship. And what does that look like? Last week, we spoke about what it means to be gathered in. If you weren't here, I want you to know that you're gathered in because you're here. Okay, that's your first step of gathering, is showing up. So you're gathered in. But we're not called to just stay where we are at. Okay, Jesus will meet you where you're at. Jesus will meet you wherever the point is that you got gathered into the kingdom, but He loves you so much that He doesn't want you to stay there. And that's what today's message is about. We've been gathered in, but now it's time to grow beyond the gathering point, because growth is important. If something's not growing, we get concerned, right? There's tons of babies in the last like few months, like tons of babies. Now, I know that those babies are going for checkups. They're making sure that they're hitting their markers. They're making sure that they're hitting all these goals. If they don't grow, there's going to be a lot of people around them that are concerned. But in Christianity, we're totally okay with people coming in, new babies, new baby Christians, and then we just show them where stuff is, and we think that's it. They're just going to grow on their own. It doesn't happen that way. So I want you to know, wherever you're at in this process of gathering and growing and giving and going, wherever you're at, we all can take a next step. We can all grow in the things that God has for us. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Look at that. It doesn't hit the same like if I have to tell you to say it, but I get it. I mean, we're all moving forward. So I want to pray, and then we're going to jump right into our text for today. Is that good? All right, here we go. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for all that you're doing. God, I praise you for all that you have planned to do. God, may you use us today to draw closer to you and draw others closer to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, let's go to Colossians. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And Paul is writing here, and his words are very clear. But sometimes we can get stuck on certain things and not move past that. But here we go, let's read. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Remember last week we spoke about Jesus saying, come and follow me. Now Jesus is understanding that we've received him, we've accepted him. Some of us in this room have yet to do that, and that's okay. We're going to get to that point, and I pray that you do, but we need to continue to follow him, continue to have movement. I want you to notice some words that are in this text: accepted, continue, follow, grow, built, and strong. Listen, salvation is incredibly important. It is the starting point of our faith. But too many times, people think that the moment that they accepted Christ, that they've arrived. That's it. They stop there. But no, we're called to continue to follow him, continue to grow, and continue to move forward in our relationship with him. We think we met him, we're good. We got our ticket to heaven, we're great. No, we're called to experience heaven on earth. Thank you. Who was it? Who was it? There we go. I didn't even ask him to say it. You must continue to follow him. That's what Paul is saying. Don't stop at just meeting him. Continue to follow him. Salvation is the beginning of the journey. It is not the end of it. Salvation is the start of a process called sanctification. What does that mean? That you're becoming more like Jesus every single day, that you're more like him today than you were yesterday, and you'll be more like him tomorrow than you were today. That is the process of growth. And we're excited to help you jump in on that process and take some steps that will help you grow and get there. Before Paul talks about what people can see, he talks about what they can't see. He talks about roots. How many of you have ever seen a tree before? Okay, you've all seen one. You can look at a tree and you can admire its branches. You can think that the leaves are beautiful. You can admire its height. You can look at the fruit that the tree produces. But none of that is possible without the roots that are forming and being strengthened below the surface. Listen, every one of you all walk in here on Sunday mornings and you all look good. You're welcome, Jesse. You all look like you got it together. Some of you look like you went through a storm during the week and you've been through it. I get it. I've been there. Some of you are bearing fruit, and people see that, and they admire that. Some of you are tall spiritually, and people recognize the height of your spirituality. But I want to talk about the roots today. How are the things that are nourishing you? How are the things that are giving you strength so that you can withstand a storm? How are the things that without them, you would die? I have a beautiful tree in my front yard. I love this tree, okay? It's beautiful. During the fall time, it's beautiful. It's my favorite tree. There's a tree in the back of my house in the neighbor's yard. I hate that tree. We Googled it. There's like 1.2 million leaves on this tree. And when they fall, they fall. Like, it covers the whole neighborhood. And if there's not a windstorm, they literally have like 8 inches of leaves in their whole backyard. I hate that tree. I love my tree. Now, I learned the importance of roots when we were doing a construction project this spring. I put a basketball hoop in my backyard and needed to dig the footer. So it was 48 inches deep, needed to be like 20 inches wide. And 6 inches down, I hit a root that was about 8 inches. I was like, oh, I had to pick this spot to put a basketball hoop. So we cut the root, we got the footer poured, we got the hoop in, and then we had to dig up for the concrete to make a spot to be able to dribble a ball. And it was all roots. There wasn't one square inch without a root. Huge roots. I'm thankful that it didn't go through the foundation of my house, because there was one that ran right down the side of the house. And I'm told because we removed so many of this tree's roots that it's going to die within like 6 to 7 years. I'm believing for a miracle that it's going to be fine, and the professional arborists that I know in my life are lying to me, and they don't know what they're talking about, but I believe that they do. But Jimmy, you could pray for a miracle with me, okay? That tree's going to live. But the roots are so important. Some of you, you've removed yourself from where you were rooted so many times that it's hard for you to grow. Some of you, you haven't allowed for your roots to really flourish because you're staying stuck in a small pot. And you need to get potted in a bigger pot so that your roots can grow. And then you can eventually become a strong tree in the kingdom of God. And I want you to think about the things that are holding you back right now. Because every one of us, we have a next step, and we have to move forward. But first, we have to look at what we're rooted in. What's feeding your life? What's feeding your life? What shapes the way that you think? What's shaping the decisions that you make? What do you do when you get hurt? Do you run? Do you isolate? Do you just bear down and go through it? What do you do? Where do you turn whenever you're confused or need support? What do you do when your identity is questioned? Do you know where your identity comes from? What do you do? Spiritual growth is so important, and it has to begin with being rooted in Jesus. That's why I love the last song that we worshiped to. It was all about Jesus and the power in his name and what comes from his name, and we must be rooted in his name. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." If you are going to grow, if we are going to grow, if I'm going to grow, we need the word of God. We need to be rooted in his word. If we are going to grow, we don't just need the word of God on Sunday. If you're growing, you're not just being fed by someone else. You're feeding yourself. I've loved watching my niece grow, Sunny. She's starting to feed herself, and it's so cute. She takes her food, and then she offers it to you, but it's already like pre-chewed and pre-sucked on, and I didn't know that fully until the last thing she handed me, and I ate it, and it was softer than it should have been. But she's starting to feed herself, and sometimes when we start to feed ourselves, it gets messy. It gets messy, but you continue to get better at it. So my question is, are you feeding yourself? Not just when you're in trouble, not just when you're experiencing hardships, not just when you're struggling, because it's amazing what happens when you eat when things are going good. We all need to learn and get comfortable with opening God's word and allowing for his truth to shape our life. Listen, you may be struggling with thinking you have the ability to do that, and that's okay. When children grow, they don't know how to do everything. They need taught, they need coached, they need encouraged, they need empowered. So if you're someone here and you're saying, I want to be a strong disciple and I want to know that my foundation is strong, I want to know what I'm rooted in, groups went live and you can sign up for a Purple Book group. What is a Purple Book group? It is a group that you're going to go through a book that is going to help you understand the basic truths and foundations of our Christian walk. You're going to get to find out, what do you know, why do you know it, and what do you believe about it? Those are important things. And I think that sometimes we think that we're grown because we're adults or we're older, and we need to stop lying to ourselves and allow ourselves to know that we need to grow a little bit in this area. Not just so that you can grow in knowledge, but because I want you to be able to grow in being an example of the Word of God. I want people to see you and see the grace and mercy of God on your life. I want people to see you and see the provision of God on your life. I want people to see you and see the joy and the peace and the self-control that rains down upon us as his children. That's what I want. I want you to establish foundations that you know who God is, that you know who you are, that you know what salvation is, that you know what grace is, that you know what faith is, and you know what the Bible says about it. That's what I want you to do. I want you to know how to pray. I want you to know how to live your life differently than the world around us, because strong disciples need strong foundations, and our foundation starts with the Word of God. What's the next step of our foundation? I want you to have a good prayer life. I want you to be rooted in prayer. And I know that prayer is a stumbling block for so many people because they think, I can't pray eloquently. I don't have the right words. I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to start it. I definitely don't know how to end it. And people will say that to me, I don't know how to pray. And they'll verbally say that to me. And if you verbally can communicate to me, you can pray, because that's all prayer is. It's you verbally communicating with your Father in heaven. It's you talking to God. It's you having conversations with God. Everybody look over at Levi. He wants you all to go to Starting Point later today. You can't tell a kid no. If you haven't gone to Starting Point, Levi's going to be heartbroken. But prayer is just you talking to your Father in heaven. Prayer is not you giving your wish list to God. Prayer's not, God, I want this, and if I'm good enough, can I have this? And if you think it's fitting for me and my family, can we have this? No, prayer's not all about you. Prayer's about others. Prayer's about the world around you. Prayer is about you communicating with your Father in heaven. And here's my question for you, and I can't answer this for you. You can only answer it for yourself. If all your prayers would be answered, would you change, or would the world around you change? If all your prayers were answered, would your household change, or would your neighborhood change? If all your prayers were answered, would you be the only one eating, or would everybody around you eat? These are questions. These are real questions about your prayer life. Are you growing in such a way that it's causing other people to grow? And you've got to be intentional about it. Growth requires intentionality. Colossians says, let your roots go down into him and let your lives be built on him. I want you to recognize the word built. It's powerful. Things don't get built accidentally. It doesn't happen. There's blood, there's sweat, there's tears, there's finances, there's all of it that goes into building things. For a while, it seemed like the only things in the world that would be built instantly were Rite Aid and CVS and Walgreens. They would just drop those things from the sky. Now Sheets, they don't even renovate Sheets anymore. They demolish Sheets and then build a new Sheets on the Sheets that was there. And it happens in like a month. There's a new Chipotle going in Irwin. Does everybody know about that? Right in North Huntington on Route 30? They tore the old Denny's down. They're building a new Chipotle. It is almost done. They have built a new Chipotle quicker than we can renovate a room downstairs. You're all laughing, but does anybody know how to finish a floor? I don't think it's funny either, right? We got to be intentional about it. Now, there were some things that we encountered along the way. We didn't know that we were going to have to completely rewire the whole entire room. We didn't know that there were vents that were going to fall on you if you went in there. We didn't know that they were being supported by drywall screws. We didn't know that. Once we got to the nitty-gritty, we figured it out. Now you can park a truck on top of that ventilation system. But it's almost, don't park a truck up there, Patrick. Your parking is in the parking lot, not on top of the vent. But you have to be intentional about what you're building. You want to build your prayer life? Get around some people that pray. You want to build your time in the Word? Get in a group that's going to force you to go into the Word. You want to build your marriage? Go to a marriage group. You're a young adult that's just figuring out that the world doesn't revolve around you and the sun doesn't set around your life. You're 24, 25 years old, and you're realizing, wait a second, this is a big world, and I'm a small fish. Maybe you need to get into the young adult groups that are offered. We have 39 connection groups at White Oak alone this semester that you could be a part of. Put the groups thing up, Anthony. Here it is. You can scan this QR code and you're going to see all 39 of them. Oh, well, there's not one on a day that works for me. God didn't tell you that everything was going to be convenient. Maybe it's time for you to grow and be inconvenienced by some things. Maybe 6 a.m. on 6:30. You should change it to 6. See the real Vikings in the room. 6:30 a.m. Friday mornings. That doesn't sound convenient. I got a lot of other things I want to be doing at 6:30 in the morning. Sweeping. I want to be sweeping. Time to get inconvenienced. If something is built, somebody planned it. Somebody laid the foundation. Somebody showed up. Somebody did the work. Somebody went piece by piece, day after day. And spiritual maturity works very similarly to that. Nobody accidentally becomes spiritually mature. It doesn't happen on accident. It happens with intentionality. But we need to recognize that sometimes we get stuck in the trap that we think time equals maturity. Time and maturity are not the same things, because I know some old people that are not very mature, and I know some young people that are far more mature beyond their years. Maturity doesn't mean time. Maturity points out how intentional you've been with your life and the time that you've been given. So are you just waiting on time? Or are you being intentional on stepping forward in maturity? Because time doesn't automatically produce maturity. Someone can attend church for 30 years and still be spiritually immature. Someone else can meet Jesus and begin growing rapidly because they're hungry, teachable, obedient, and intentional. Which one are you? I can't answer that for you. I could for some of you. So the question isn't how long have you been a Christian? The question is how much have you allowed Jesus to change you? Because discipleship isn't measured simply by how much Bible we know. It's measured by how much our lives have become more like Jesus. And this growth requires obedience. James 1:22, but don't just listen to the word of God. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Listen, we talked about this last week, but it matters so much to discipleship because there's a difference between knowing what Jesus said and doing what Jesus says. There's a huge difference. They're worlds apart. If you know what he says and you don't walk it out, you're just fooling yourself. We can know scripture and still refuse to obey it. We can know what we need to change and still not change it. We know that we should forgive. We know that we should walk in forgiveness. We know that we should be generous. We know that we should be faithful sons and daughters. We know that we should serve. We know that we should allow for things in our life to be restored and that we should be reconciled to Jesus. We know that we should walk away from some things in our life. We know the next step we need to take. But growth happens when it goes from knowing to obedience. Most of us, we know what's wrong with us. We know. We've just gotten so comfortable with it that it's okay. It's become a part of our lives. And I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself too. Listen, you got to live it before you can preach it. We know what we need to change. We know what we need to do, but we're holding back from it. Why? Because obedience hurts. But when you start walking in it, man, is it a blessing? Is it joyful? It's like going to the gym. Does everybody know what the hardest piece of equipment at the gym is? The front door. That's the hardest piece of equipment in there. But if you get obedient to continue to open in the front door, things start to change in your life. It's amazing how that happens. The next step can be uncomfortable. But this is where being a follower of Jesus gets real. Because Jesus will eventually put his finger on something in your life. Maybe your next step isn't going to Starting Point. Maybe your next step isn't going to Next Steps. Maybe your next step isn't just becoming to begin to be generous with your time and your treasure and your talent. Maybe your next step is changing your attitude. I'm preaching to myself. I get an attitude when I'm hungry. I get hangry. I'm tell the truth, shame the devil. And I don't need like, I need like substance. I can survive on a bread, cheese, and meat. Just put that on a tray with some hot mustard, I'm good. Rachel and I have been married 16 years. She's trying to figure it out still. She takes snacks everywhere for Lennon. Everywhere. She probably got snacks in her purse right now for Lennon. I ain't got no snacks in there. Maybe your next step is changing that relationship that you know you shouldn't be in. Or growing the relationship that you know that needs to be grown. Maybe your priorities need changed. Maybe your finances need an adjustment. Maybe their habits in your life need to be switched up. Maybe your next step is really walking in forgiveness. Maybe your next step is getting rid of the pride in your life. Maybe your next step is freeing up your schedule so that you could do more things for the kingdom. Maybe your next step is taking full control of your thought life, because every one of us here lies. And I'm going to give you the best advice that I ever received, and I pray that it's some of the best advice that you ever receive. Agree with your enemy quickly. When he says you're not good enough, say, I know I'm not, but my God is. Yeah. When he says you don't measure up, say, absolutely, I do not. I will never measure up, but I'm so thankful that Jesus did the measuring on the cross. Yeah. Whenever you hear the enemy say you're never going to amount to nothing, you're not good enough, whatever it may be, just agree. Because it's not about you, it's about Jesus. I might not be good enough, but I know that I serve a good God. I might not fill in the blank. He is who he says he is, and it's powerful when we start walking in that. So you know what your next step is. You know where you've been holding back. You know that gift that you've been hiding from people. You know that you're being called. We believe for 40 connection groups this semester. You know that you're number 40. We're 39. And you've been sitting on a gift for way too long. You're either a leader of men or a leader of women. Or your marriage has been changed and transformed, and you need to apprentice a marriage group so that you can lead one. You know what you're doing. Listen, you can't follow Jesus without eventually leaving something behind you. And I believe there's a lot of people in the room today that you need some things left behind. Peter left his nets. Matthew left his tax booth. The disciples left old ways of living. Following always requires movement. And growth means dealing with what holds you back. I'm so thankful for victory and freedom. I'm so thankful for what happened this weekend, but I'm so expectant about the next one. Because this is part of the discipleship pathway, that you go to victory and freedom. Why? Because we want you to be an example of what it looks like to be free. We want you to understand that victory is not something you earn, it's something you're given. Discipleship isn't simply adding good things to our lives. Jesus wants us to remove some things as well. Hebrews 12, verse 1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily tripped us up. Notice there's two things that are talked about in this verse, sin and weight, and they're very close together. Do we have any baseball fans in the room, baseball, softball? I know it's hard. It's Pittsburgh. I know. Is that a pirate shirt? I always tell people that P stands for Pittsburgh, not for Pirates. Unless the Pirates start winning, then it's a Pirates hat or a Pirates shirt. But till then, it's Pittsburgh. Have you ever seen somebody step up to be on deck to bat? Like they're next up to bat? What do they do? Anyone? Huh? What do they do? Who's saying it? It's like, Coop, what do they do? With a weight on it. Sometimes they put weighted gloves on. They put weight on the end of the bat. They hold numerous bats. Why do they do that? Because when it's time to swing, the weight's been removed. The bat feels lighter. Their hands feel faster. There is a weight that's been holding you back far too long, and it needs to be removed so that you can swing, so that you can make some movement for the kingdom of God in your life and in the lives of the people around you. It's time for the weight to be removed, and you know what that weight is. But I want to be clear, too, that not everything that's holding us back is necessarily sinful. There's things from our past that were done to us that are holding us back. There's things from our past that people said to us or said about us or spoke over us that are holding us back. There's past wounds. There's unforgiveness. There's shame. There's fear. There's patterns. There's addiction. There's lies that you've believed about yourself. There's things that you've carried for years that need to be removed. And I want you to know that Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that you and us and everyone that exists could get better at carrying their chains. He died on the cross so that you could be freed from them. He doesn't want you to get good at carrying the weight. He wants you to give it to him. But we're Mon Valleyers. We fight through. We keep up with the Joneses. Where are the Joneses? They're here. There they are. If you've never met them, you've been keeping up with Becca and Hunter your whole life. Let it go. Get free from the weight that is on your life so that you can swing. And you know what that weight is. You know what's holding you back. John 8, verse 36 says, "The Son sets you free. You are truly free." Some translations say, "You are free indeed." It doesn't say partially free. It doesn't just say free on Sundays. It doesn't just say you get to walk in victory when you're at church or during connection group or serving. No, it says all the time. You're free. Freedom isn't pretending that your past didn't happen. Freedom is recognizing that your past is just something you could point to that shows the glory and the grace and the power of Jesus. People can't debate where you were and where you are now. People can't debate a changed and transformed life. They could debate theology. They could debate your doctrine. They could debate all those things, but they cannot debate transformation. Are you becoming more like Jesus? When we bring something to the light, when we confess, when we forgive, when we ask for help, when we allow others, to believers, to walk with us, it leads to growth. Where does growth happen? It doesn't happen on accident. It happens with obedience to prayer and to his word, but it happens in community. It is vitally important for us to be together and walk together and serve together and pray together and believe together. It's vitally important. Why? Because when I am weak, you guys can be strong. Whenever you're strong, I can maybe look at, okay, I could be weak. Or whenever we're all strong together, it's powerful. Anybody ever heard of a sequoia tree? Anyone? Anyone? Redwoods, big trees? You've heard of them? All right. Jimmy, how tall are they? Tall? Like 6'7"? Some of them are 300 feet tall. 250 to 300 feet tall. And we're talking about 12 feet wide. These trees are huge. Huge. And they only grow in groves. You'll never see one standing by itself. Why? Because their root system is designed in such a way that the tree that grows here is relying on the tree that's growing next to it. And the tree that grows here is relying to the tree that grows next to it. Their roots only go like 5 to 8 feet into the ground. 300 feet tall, 8 feet into the ground. That's crazy, because they're connected in such a way that they're receiving support and encouragement and nourishment from the trees around them. Are you an isolated tree or are you growing in a grove? It's totally your choice. 39 groups, 39 different groves of trees that are going to get to grow together this semester. 39. I don't have time. I just want to stay isolated. I want to protect the stuff in my life that I don't want people to see. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. The ESV version says, iron sharpens iron and a man sharpens another man. The Yinzer version says, iron sharpens iron and y'all yins need each other. Are you allowing yourself to be sharpened? Listen, it doesn't look enjoyable for the sword or the knife that's getting sharpened. But boy, I'll tell you, when that thing is sharp, you can cut through some things that have been holding you back. You can cut through some things that are keeping you from moving forward. I forged a knife once. It was one of the coolest experiences. I want to go back and do it again. But I started with just a block of steel, and then I ended with a beautiful knife. I didn't know. I thought we were just going for a Christmas party. It was a full 8-hour work day, like making this knife. It was enjoyable for me, but the steel didn't look like it was having fun until it sliced through a water bottle, and I knew that it was done. Are you being sharpened? I didn't just set this piece of steel down and let it go make itself. You need to place yourself in the same environment as some people that know how to do some sharpening. And I'm so thankful for our connection group leaders. I'm so thankful for our coaches. I'm so thankful for everything that they do. I'm thankful specifically for our freedom groups. If you just went to Victory and Freedom, it's now time for you to sign up for a freedom group. Why? We cannot communicate everything that is involved in walking in freedom in 12 hours, but we can get pretty close to scratching the surface in 12 weeks. That's another part of growth. Are you following the path? Listen, the goal is not more religious activity. The goal is not to just fill your calendar. I don't want you to think that you just need to check boxes on a checklist that go to a Purple Book group or go to a Victory and Freedom and then go to a Freedom group. I don't want you to think that if you complete these things, then you're a mature Christian. These are just a vehicle to get you there. They're just another tool to use to move you forward, to get to the destination. And I want you to know that the destination is Jesus. That's where we're being led to. Romans 12, verse 2, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Notice it says transform you. Not just put a bandage on some things, not just cover it up. No, transform you so that you're not recognizable anymore. We get stuck in thinking that growth looks like, I've seen so many sermons given. I have this many Bible verses known. I have been attending church since I was born. That's not our measurement. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Am I more loving than I used to be? That's a marker. Am I more patient than I used to be? That is a marker. Am I more forgiving than I used to be? That is a marker. Am I more generous, more peaceful, more faithful? Do I have more self-control? These are all markers. But I don't want you to just compare yourself to the old you. I want you to compare yourself to Jesus. Because we're not just trying to be better versions of ourselves. We're trying to be like Jesus. Those are the measuring points. And fruit takes time. Growth doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes we get frustrated because we aren't where we want to be. Colossians said, let your roots grow down into him. Roots grow, and growth is a process. Philippians 1:6, we're going to start to land the plane, and I pray that today's been fruitful for you and it's helped you to move forward in some ways. Philippians 1:6 says this, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished. Are you done? No. Are you going through a process? Yes. And the process starts at one place and one place only. It starts at the cross. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future, today should be your day, August 23rd, 2026. At 12:17 noon, do you have a day that you know that you've started or shored up your relationship with Jesus? If you don't, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever been asked to do, but definitely the greatest thing you will ever do. And that's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time where I've repented of my past, receive the forgiveness that you poured out for me on the cross, and called upon you as leader and Lord over my future. Anyone at all today? Maybe you're like me and you're afraid to raise your hand. I didn't raise my hand. I was scared what people were going to think of me. Take your phone and tap it on that card in the seat in front of you and let us know you want to start a relationship with Jesus. And we will pray with you, we will encourage you, we will empower you, we will equip you, and we will help you walk out the most exciting journey, which is our journey with Jesus. Father God, I thank you so much for our next steps. God, some of us just really need to be gathered. Some of us need to begin to grow. Some of us need to begin to give of our time and our talent, our treasure. And some of us really need to go out into our world and make disciples. And Lord, all of us are going to do this so that you receive the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,